You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Weird Medicine contains mature contents that may be offended to some listeners.
Let me write.
What did I do wrong then? If you know, your old house is like an oven.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve. Yeah, I know who I am. And I'm joined today with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the alternative medicine wackos at bay. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And she who will do most anything for a glass of expensive wine, it's Lady Diagnosis. Uh-oh. Try that again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's been just a clutter. We need to do this more often because I'm just effing up bad today.
Yep. Okay. Hey, Dr. Steve.
And also in the studio, my delightful wife, Tacy.
What's up?
Oh, God. This is a show for people who have never listened to a radio show or a medical radio show, particularly. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POO-HOO. If you're listening to us live, the number is 754-227-3647. That's 754-22-PENIS. Or 754-BARE-NIP. Right, Taste?
That's right, Steve.
Or follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or Lady Diagnosis or Dr. Scott WM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on the show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, sommelier, or whatever. Very good. Jeez. Whew. That was rough. Wait, if anyone can tell me why Skype cannot hear this, I'm just going to throw this technical question out there. Why Skype cannot hear sounds from the USB audio codec, please email me, because we've been using Skype for 15 years to, or what, however long it's been, and all of a sudden it doesn't work anymore. So I'm going to have to switch over to taking phone calls using Google a Google app or some other telephone app. Maybe one of those will work, but it's not working. And so last show, we kind of kludged it up by putting a microphone next to the speaker and ran Joe List and Richard Smith through the speakers on my the monitor speakers, and that kind of worked, but the audio quality was crappy and I really couldn't control it very well. And then we lose a whole microphone in the studio. So while we're remodeling the studio next week, the booms are on their way. One of them is over there next to you, Lady Diagnosis.
I saw that.
We're going to have a studio upgrade for the first time in, 12, 13 years.
I want my microphone to come down out of the ceiling, please.
There is a way to do that, actually.
Yeah.
And there's, in some situations, it's better. Since Scott, we're doing a multi-track project with Dr. Scott where he's singing before and after, and I've got his track where I can isolate his vocals, which will be fun to play just the vocals by themselves, particularly the before. But
oh, yes.
Yes.
But and we're doing Sweet Melissa. That's the great thing.
We are going to do Melissa, yes, we are.
So that was the song that started all of this with GVAC.
Yes.
And that's the one I've never seen Scott ever mad, but except one time, and that was when I started playing semi-sweet Melissa on this show just to shit on him. And we really weren't shitting on you. I just wanted to show how much better you've gotten right. since then.
No, I appreciate it. It had to go up. There was no way it was getting any worse.
Well, I'm not arguing with you on that, but it's...
It was terrible.
So for Scott's birthday, I got him voice lessons.
Yep.
He did one of them, and then he canceled the one from today.
So I could come be with my friends and do my show.
One whole lesson, but anyway. But he's already better because the guy... told him what GMAC and I were trying to, but we just didn't, you know.
You didn't know how to tell him.
We didn't know how to tell him.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Scott's got a beautiful, if I can use that word with a dude, speaking
sure.
voice.
Mm-hmm.
But singing voice.
Atrocious.
Yeah, not so much.
Horrible. Horrible.
It's like, well, hello everyone, let me sing. you know, and I did the same thing.
Yes.
But it's in there.
It's in there.
You can tell he's
Tease it out.
Yeah.
Tease it out.
But if you
yeah.
could sing with your speaking voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what this guy told him.
Was brilliant. Yeah.
Said just speak the word.
Right.
Or speak the words in the beginning and then work into singing them.
Yep.
And I'm like, you
oh,
asshole.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it was. You know, he said, just talk into it. He said, just read the words, the first part of the song. And just as you start to read the words, then start just gradually
then
getting
your voice will just fluctuate a little.
You want to try that with Melissa right now? Just do the first stanza?
Oh, hell no.
No, okay.
Fuck,
all right,
no.
Fair enough. I thought I'd ask.
Hey, give me 6 months of.
But the first time we played since he's done that, he did that. And it was like, this is a million times. You could tell that he's on the road to real improvement. And I'm like, you asshole, G-Bag and I both told you this shit. And then this guy, one time. But it's just like, you know, if I tell Tacey something and then she hears it from somebody else or if she hears it from Scott, she'll take it more seriously. Or our kids, if they hear it from us. Like, this movie is really great. What was that movie I tried to get Liam to go see? And he was like, oh, it's stupid. And then his friends wanted to go and he comes and, can I go see X movie? And it's like, you... So I've been trying to get you to go with me for weeks.
You don't have no street cred.
No, I know. I really don't. Particularly with my 23andMe or Ancestry.com results. No street cred. Just Eastern European honky ofe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. All right. What else? So, that's interesting. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Why was I talking about
We're talking about microphones coming from the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes.
So we've got a deal where we can suspend the mics from the ceiling. Thank you.
Mm, sure.
Suspend the mic from the ceiling and do it like a real recording studio. Mm. So I'm going to get for the studio one of those isolation shields, and you put that on the microphone. It comes down, and then you sing into that, and then I can completely remove any of the effects of the room from your singing. And isolate you completely.
Then I don't have any excuse for ambient noise making me sound so
terrible.
Well,
I can add that ambient noise stuff back
if
we need to. But it's a great way to just get nice, clean audio. So.
Yeah.
So that's right.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
Well, you can.
When are you going to do this?
You can hear part of it right now, right?
No.
They can't even hear the thing that we did, the take three. No?
Oh, it was better than the very first one.
Yeah. Okay. So this is you've. Everyone go back. Go get a premium subscription. Go back and listen to the show called Semi Sweet Melissa. I'm not going to play it for Scott.
No.
But when we do the last one, we're going to play all three of them to hear the progression. Right?
Yes.
We got to. Come on.
Yes.
You have to.
All right. I'll find it.
If everyone promises to plug their ears.
Nope.
No, we want to hear how far you've come.
Whoa.
We know it's in there.
You got anything new on your website?
No, we're just wearing out that sinus spray. The allergies have come early this year. You know, those Bradford players, when they start to bloom, that's what I'm allergic to.
Are those the pink ones?
Well, a lot of them are white flowers, and then as soon as they'll turn, the whole tree turns completely white, and I'll sneeze my head off for about 3 weeks. And then as the tree turns green from the bottom up, you can watch it. I can smell again. I can breathe again.
Now, this is the most recent multitrack, so this was before the lessons.
Okay.
Crossroads.
There, already off.
Not that bad.
Already off.
Seem to come and go.
It's like a cat scratching the fucking. Chalkboard.
Gypsy flies from coast to coast. Knowing any, loving all. in sorrow, having fun.
Laugh, laugh, laugh.
But back home you'll always run to sweet Melissa.
So right. I just got to get it dialed in.
I'd say it's hard to do that and play the guitar at the same time.
Yeah.
And do both really, really well.
It would be hard if that was what he was doing, but we played the instrument track first, and then he got to sing.
Oh, okay.
Just singing. Because the new studio has multi-track.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I can't do either one.
And that wasn't a guitar either.
Yeah. Well, I actually made that.
Oh. He made that instrument. He modified.
I had an acoustic banjo that I modified, took the strings off of, and strung it like a mandolin. Mm. So it's like an octave mandolin. So
yeah, it's
I
like
made
a,
my own, like an Irish bouzouki kind of thing.
Is it the same as a mandocello?
No, it's in between. It's between what a cello and a violin would be. It's
like a viola.
It's like a viola, yeah.
Interesting.
Exactly right.
Okay. Yeah.
Just one octave deeper than my mandolin.
Well, that's cool, man. All right. Did we have something else we were going to talk about? Maybe before we
Opie and Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Lady
Thank
Diagnosis you. Yes, is yes, famous.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
It's hilarious.
No, I have not.
I got an email from a bunch of people saying, oh, they're talking about Lady Diagnosis on Opie and Anthony, and here's
on and
Opie
by the way, you got to pay for your tickets.
Sorry, on Opie Radio podcast.
I ain't giving up a free seat.
I'm going to stand in the back.
Good-looking woman, though.
Oh, wait.
How about the hot? Do you remember, Florentine, the Dr. Steve down in Tennessee, when I went down there and did a gig for him last year, the lady he sent to pick me up and take me to the hotel, and, you know, loves Florentine.
Yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because she was like, he invited me to New York to come see him. And I'm like, really? And she goes, yeah, but then, you know, he said, I'll probably be working, so we'll just have to hang out. I'm not going to spend any time
of course.
With you.
Well, I'm going to make money if I'm going to hang out.
I'm not going to spend any time with you. You can just sit over here for
a second. Sit in the corner and watch the show, and then we'll go for beers afterwards. I got to pick up $100 to fucking pay for the tab. I'm not giving you a Saturday night.
She told me straight up, she goes, the motherfucker looked me in the face and said, oh, fly up, but then you're just going to have to fucking sit tight in the corner.
Are you going to cancel three shows on a Saturday night?
It's like, I hope you like comedy, bitch.
Right. I've seen you lugging chicks around from club to club on a Saturday.
Yeah. By the way, you got to pay for your tickets.
So, all right.
I'm
giving
up a free seat. I'm going to stand in the back.
Good-looking woman, though.
I know.
Self-sufficient. Got a job. Benefits.
Well, I was married at the time when I went down there to do a
really?
Show.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so I couldn't hook up with her. I knew she was into me, but but then when I got single, come to New York.
Right. No, I was down there.
You can't give up your whole night.
No, I'm down there. I'm like, I'm like, come on. There's no. You don't look this good. And some comic hadn't flirted with you. And she's like, Jim Florentine. Yeah. I would have totally.
There we go.
If I was single, I would have been making out with her at the airport, waiting for my luggage.
She's good looking.
Where was this?
Yeah.
In the Tri-Cities down in Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
He's like in the middle of nowhere down
Bristol,
there,
Bristol, Johnson
really
City,
hard to
Kingsport.
Get to.
And then they start talking about me, but anyway.
What did they say about you?
Oh, I don't think anything.
The Tri-Cities,
He's trying to get a comedy scene going down there, but there's not really a lot of people
in
the area.
They got an airport. That's about it.
Oh, they got a small one, though, right?
Yeah, it's the Tri-Cities.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah.
That was so funny. This was one of the best. And I'm like, I would have given you two. If I come for the weekend, I'll take one night off. I would have taken one night off. I would have worked the other night, but I would have taken the
one
night off.
I would do one show on a Sunday, but I still work.
So look, you know, that money's going to pay for the hotel room that we're getting.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I'm running a business here. It's a business expense.
I didn't know he was married when he came down here.
I thought he was already divorced then. I think he may be misremembering that. Do you remember?
No, he wasn't married.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, he doesn't know if he was married or not. God almighty.
So as...
No, because he... Well, yeah, he wasn't married.
So how does that make you feel, hearing these guys talking about... These comedians talking about you that you work with?
That's hilarious.
It's okay, good. I'm glad.
Self-sufficient.
I know. I was
hot
impressed
lady.
With that.
It's got to make her feel good.
Got a job.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Benefits.
I've got benefits. Yes.
Absolutely.
Your insurance sucks. I mean, don't ask me how I know that. But.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I'm a catch.
There you go. So
come to the Tri-Cities.
Yep. And I always tell these guys, I've got this supermodel, will walk you around or drive you around. I say, she's an aging supermodel, but a supermodel nonetheless. So, in the comedy world, you're definitely a comedy 10. There's no question about that. So.
Wow.
There you go.
That's huge.
Is that bad? Tacy's looking at me like, you asshole. What's wrong with that?
I just was looking at you.
Oh, okay.
The look must have been for something else. I don't remember.
Okay.
That's her starry-eyed look, Dr.
But anyway,
Steve.
Yes, the comedians all like you.
Oh, wonderful.
So there you go. All right.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, get a little traction on a bigger podcast than ours.
Mm.
So,
there you go. Wow.
All right. You guys ready to take some phone calls? Let's. Uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah, I still
some asshole on the radio.
Wait, what?
Number one thing.
Oh.
Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All I heard was asshole on the radio. I thought Ronnie B. was... Well, anyway, here boys.
Hey, Dr. Steve, Dr. Scott. My name is Mike. I was calling to talk a little bit about some old wives' tales. So my family's from Poland, and I've seen this with other European families. When they come visit here in California, they absolutely hate air conditioning, whether it's in the car, whether it's in the house. They say that's how you get sick. Same with, like, not wearing socks on a tile floor, or having windows open and having a breeze through the house. And these are, you know, college-educated, smart people. I don't know. Is there any truth in that? I mean, I've all heard the story of the helicopter pilot that didn't want to get sick, so he turned off the fan. But I just wanted to see if there was any kind of medical underpinning. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
Hey, Dr. Well, Steve.
Oh,
Dr.
Hey, buddy. It's... We had ways to heat our homes long before we had ways to cool our home. And when I was a baby, I remember we had a big giant fan in the ceiling that my mom would turn on, or I'm sorry, in the attic, and it would suck air through the whole house. I mean, it was like a airplane propeller, and it would suck air through the whole house. And we would drive in a car with no air conditioning. I don't ever remember being hot because you just didn't know any different. You just open the windows. Mm-hmm. And so when you have air conditioning, it's weird to people. At the time, it was weird. There were a lot of myths about it at the time that people thought it was unhealthy to, you know, be living in cool air like that. So some of this is just a myth because people weren't used to it. And if you're in Europe, remember we were in Europe, Tace, and some of the places we went were like, well, you don't need air conditioning. You know, it's always comfortable.
It's like bullshit.
Here.
It's 98 degrees here. Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
Bullshit.
So, but a poorly maintained air conditioner can be a problem.
With filters that might need to be changed, Dr. Steve?
Yes, and I will do that.
Do you
that
know
as
of a place
as,
other than...
As soon as we're done today,
okay.
My delightful friend, I will do that. And I've been remiss in changing the filters. Filters can be a problem, but there's this thing called sick building syndrome. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Nasal congestion, breathing problems, headaches, fatigue, irritated skin. And what they were thinking is that there may be microorganisms in the system that may have some subtle effects on some people. But the more common one that we know about is Legionnaire's disease. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have water that's pooling and then you get this Legionella bacteria, and then if it's pooling in an air conditioning system, mm-hmm. then you can spray it onto people and you can get Legionnaire's disease, which is the third most common community-acquired pneumonia, and people just aren't aware of it, that it's that common. It's very common. Legionella pneumonia is not in any way rare, and we always treat for it when we have community-acquired pneumonias come in. You always treat people for atypical organisms when they, you know, when they hit the emergency room for admission. So that's one way. So, but a properly maintained air conditioner unit with no pooling water should be okay as long as you change your filters and you're not spraying allergens around the house. Now, whether it's healthy for the planet's a whole nother thing we can talk about. Now, Dr. Scott's a big environmentalist, but last time I was at your house, it was very nicely air conditioned. So.
I love air conditioning.
It's my best friend. Yeah. As a perimenopausal woman.
Yes.
It's my best friend.
You know what does the most for me, though? It keeps the allergens out of the air so I can keep my windows closed and I don't sneeze my damn head off in the spring.
Yeah.
Great. That's the key for me.
Great.
It's actually
great
keeps
point.
Me healthier.
I was just going to bring up there's this Michelle Bell. She's a professor of environmental health at Yale University. She did some research on air conditioning and found that the use of a well-maintained air conditioning unit lowered a person's risk for health complications, including hospital admissions and premature death due to cardiovascular issues. So we're by running our air conditioning taste, we're preventing hospitalizations
death.
And early death. So
yeah,
we're
right on.
Crank it up.
We do plenty to cause hospitalizations and early death.
That's true.
So.
And during intense heat waves, air conditioning obviously saves
lives.
Yeah. So there you go. So just if you're going to use it, get an efficient air conditioner. We need to replace ours to make it more energy efficient so we're using less carbon. I'm fine with that. And it just makes sure it's well maintained and you should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There you go.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yo, buddy, what's up? No, how are you? Good. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking. All right. I was just wondering, listening to this stuff.
I get what he's doing. Didn't you have a friend that said it made him mad? That I tried to make it sound
like
I'm
you're
interacting
to him.
Yeah, let's try that over again.
Okay,
so
he's
now.
Answering.
Okay.
Yo.
Hey, man.
Buddy.
Hey, how's it going, bro?
What's up?
Hey, we're doing all right. How you doing?
How are you?
Yeah, good, good. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
There you go.
I was just wondering, listening to this stuff about Oregon and whatnot, having a measles outbreak, I believe it is, because of the anti-vax movement and all this BS. it's ridiculous. I have one of these in my family, my freaking sister and my brother, for that matter. Are anti-vaxxers, and they're always telling me that the government getting paid to vaccinate our children, to push these vaccines on our children. They're getting
Wait, big government is getting paid to push
it's
vaccines.
It's usually big pharma.
Yeah, it's usually they're after big pharma.
Big pharma's paying government to tell them.
That's
what he's saying, yeah.
I was confused as to who's paying who.
It causes cancer. It causes autism and the mercury and the thimerosal and all. I'm like, dude, you know that guy was found out to be bogus, right? She's like, oh, that's not why. We believed. I'm like, oh. She's like, do your own research. I'm like, I did, and I'm telling you what I found. Like, what? I need to go to youreright.com and find this? I don't know. There's a group in New York now that's starting up there trying to get some traction. You've heard the I think of Rochester, and they have said they said vaccines cause adults.
Vaccines cause adults. That's what he said. I like that. Oh, I like that.
That's cute.
That's actually very clever. His audio is terrible, but basically mm-hmm. he was in an argument with a family member who is an anti-vaccine person, and I was just going to there's
stuff drives me bonkers.
A nice article from yesterday out of Oregon. This measles outbreak in Southwest Washington added some urgency for Oregon lawmakers. So you'd think if any place would maybe lean toward being an anti-vaccine place, it might be the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. But their lawmakers are certainly not following suit with that. And 65 people, many of them unvaccinated children, have been sickened with measles in Clark County, Washington. That's just in one county. They're saying it's not a theoretical discussion anymore. It's a very practical discussion, said Representative Mitch Greenlick, wonder what his nickname was in high school. The Portland Democrat behind a proposal making it more difficult for families to opt out of vaccine requirements. And then you'll get some people saying, well, this is totalitarian, forcing people to have, you know, vaccines, but this is for the public good. There's no question about it. People, I'm telling you, you don't remember what it was like if you're against these vaccines. I had a kindergarten friend die from measles when I was a kid. We had kids in wheelchairs with polio. You just don't see that shit anymore. So people think, well, it just doesn't happen. But it did happen. And vaccines are the things that stop that. When was the last time you've heard of somebody who died from tetanus? I've had one case of tetanus in my 30-plus years, and it was in an unvaccinated person. You know, when's the last time you saw diphtheria? Does anybody? Oh, that's your mother. Let's get this.
Oh no, I ignored it. People, I did not answer.
Oh,
hey, bad. Big Joe, you're on Weird Medicine.
Oh.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
What can we do for you?
I wanted to bring over my new dog and show it to you.
Oh my goodness, you got a new dog?
Yep.
So, with all the other shit in your life right now, you decide you're going to add some more shit to it.
Well, happier. Let's
okay.
put it that way.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Yeah. Bring them over in like 30 minutes.
Okay.
All right. See you then. You got anything to say to your fans in the radio audience?
Just say hello to them.
All right. Well, you just did.
I hope they had a good winter.
Well, okay.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye. Big Joe, everybody.
This dog's going to come shit all over our house.
I know, and piss and everything.
Just like the other one does.
Yep. The other one, if you say hello to it, it just pisses on the floor. That's what I'm mad.
So she's already got a dog?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
And a kitty cat, and then, you know, two grandchildren living with her, and Tacy's brother, and, you know. Mm-hmm.
Just, it's a swell place.
And now she's going to add another, and is it a puppy? Do you know? Is it?
It's a two-month-old chihuahua, apparently.
Oh. Okay, so at least if it shits all over everywhere,
it's going to be very
shits.
Small.
Yeah.
And our dogs will probably eat it.
Most likely, yes.
They do, yes. Corprophagic.
All right. Well, here we go. Here's the other side. The government's authority ends at my skin. Parent and advocate Brianna Sagdahl said outside the public hearing room, "It's my body, it's my family, my choice, and they can pass whatever the law they want. I'm not following it."
By God.
You know, while most states allow for religious exemptions to vaccine, what religion, what religious teaching keeps you from taking vaccines? I'm not aware of any. But
oh, yeah.
Are you?
Yes. I'll give me a second. I don't know who that is.
Why is your microphone sound so crappy? Tacy's way too high and you're way too low. Let me see.
And I'm just right.
And you're right.
Hello,
just right. Let's see here. About 7.5% of kindergartners in Oregon were unvaccinated in 2018, the highest rate in the state history. Nearly all of these children used non-medical exemption, according to this person with the Oregon Health Authority. 96% of all Oregon school children are vaccinated against measles. There are individual schools throughout the state with far lower rates of vaccination. If the disease were to hit those areas, it would spread rapidly like it did in Clark County. And the other side of it, parents in emotional testimony said the government shouldn't force children to be immunized to receive an education. Some came to Oregon to escape strict vaccine requirements in California, which implemented a similar law in 2016. You know, there you go. So I don't
know. Drives
me
apeshit.
I don't know what to tell you. Vaccines save lives.
Yeah.
Nothing has zero risk. There's no question there are going to be kids who will get a vaccine who will have a bad outcome, sometimes even a tragic outcome. And for them, you know, I don't know what to say to you. If we knew ahead of time who those kids were, we wouldn't vaccinate those kids. We'd vaccinate everybody else. There might be, you know, so we might have 10,000 unvaccinated kids because we know we're going to harm them in this country. But they would be protected by the 350 million minus 10,000 people who are vaccinated. But the problem is when you don't vaccinate just because you're afraid you're going to be in that 1 in a million or 1 in 10 million, whatever the number is, that's going to have some bad outcome. It's just like saying I'm not going to wear my seatbelt because I'm afraid I'm going to get trapped in my car in a burning car wreck. And the odds of being trapped in a car in a burning car wreck are about 1 in 1,000,000. The odds of being harmed seriously by getting in that same car wreck where you're not trapped without your seatbelt is about 1 in 2. So you're trading almost near certainty odds for remote odds, and you're making your life much, much more dangerous.
But then they have peace of mind. So how much is that worth?
Well, do they have peace of mind? They don't
have
peace of
mind. Well, they think they do.
Well, they don't have peace of mind when their kid gets measles and has an even worse outcome.
But until then, they have more peace of mind.
A lot of people may say they have peace of mind when they vaccinate their kids.
Yeah,
so
it goes both ways.
I was nervous about it because of hearing about it. I knew better. The intellectual part of my brain said, I know this is something we have to do. But the emotional part of my brain was like, oh, God, you know, while we're doing this, I'm gritting my teeth, hoping that nothing bad happens, that the crazy side isn't right about this. But then I had a great peace of mind afterward, you know, because they didn't have an untoward effect, and I knew they were protected.
How harmful is it for the kids that have been vaccinated to be hanging out with these unvaccinated hippies?
Hey.
You're not an unvaccinated hippie.
True, I'm just
a hippie. Just a hippie.
Yeah, that's a different kind of hippie.
Yeah, it is a totally different
stage
kind
two
of hippie.
Hippie.
That's right. I'm right.
Yeah, you're stage two. Those are stage one.
Aging hippie.
There is some risk, though. Although those kids are protected, the real risk is to the unvaccinated people. But there is some risk, even to vaccinate people. As you know, no vaccine is perfect. So if you've got a bunch of unvaccinated people and there's an outbreak, then the people who have marginal immunity, even though they were vaccinated, are at more risk of coming in contact with live virus and having something happen to them. So, yeah, there's some risk. It's less.
I like how they say, well, you vaccinated your kids, so I don't really need to vaccinate my kids.
Right. They're basing that on herd immunity, which is when you base your decision on that, you're just saying it's okay for everybody else to take the 1 in 1,000,000 risk for their kids in the interest of keeping society safe. But I'm not willing to do that. I'm going to let everybody else do that. And that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's like, I'm not going to pay my taxes. Well, you know, everybody else pays their taxes, so, you know, they won't notice that. Mm-hmm. You know, go fuck yourself. Pay your taxes.
Go fuck yourself.
So I don't like that reason, but that's what they're looking at is herd immunity. And they're partially right. When you have a large populace that is vaccinated, you're less likely to have an outbreak because it's hard for the virus to catch hold. But when you've got a place like Clark County where you've got a big glob of people who aren't vaccinated, then they'll just pass it through themselves and it's amplified.
It just takes one place like Disney World, you know?
Yeah, where everybody comes together.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Next thing you know, they'll stop circumcisions, won't they?
No.
Let me see. Disney.
Thank you, G-Vac.
Measles outbreak. Let's read up on that. Okay, that was California. This was actually hit the CDC. Measles outbreak, California, December 2014 to February 2015. California Department of Health was notified about a suspected measles case. The patient was hospitalized, unvaccinated child, 11 years old with rash onset on December 28th, so 3 days after the holiday. The only notable travel history during the exposure period was a visit to one of two adjacent Disney theme parks located in Orange County, California. On the same day, the California Department of Public Health received reports of 4 additional suspected measles cases in California residents, 2 Utah residents, all of whom reported visiting one or both of the theme parks during mid-December. By January 7, 7 California measles cases had been confirmed, and they issued a press release on the Epidemic Information Exchange notification to other states regarding this outbreak. As of February 11th, that was that year, a total of 125 measles cases with rash occurred during that time period were confirmed connected with the outbreak. Now, let's see. Among 34 secondary cases, 26 were household or close contact. So they were people brought it back home and gave it to other people. Now let me see. Of the 110 California patients, 45% were unvaccinated. 5% had one dose of measles-containing vaccine, and 7 had two doses. And 1 had three doses. 43% didn't know what their status was, so they may have been vaccinated and didn't know it. So that comes back to your thing. You know, being vaccinated is not a perfect protection. It most of the time protects you from dying, but doesn't protect you from getting it. Let's see. I just want to look and see how many people really got sick, but it doesn't really say. So, you know, ended up in the hospital over it. But, you know, there you go. Vaccinate.
Vaccinate your fucking kids.
And it actually, the hepatitis B vaccine will prevent some cases of hepatocellular cancer. So it doesn't cause cancer, it prevents cancer. And we're still waiting for the true long-term data, but we've found that the Gardasil or the, you know, the anti-HPV vaccines that are oriented toward bad actors in the HPV community, which would be particularly HPV strain 16, has shown decrease in bad pap smears. And what we're assuming is over the next couple of decades, we'll see a marked decline in the number of cervical cancer.
So they're
cases.
Already seeing a decrease. Yep. That's cool.
All right.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I am a real dumbass, but anyway,
well, you're calling
me
the
too.
Right place.
I have an allergic reaction to cold air a lot of times. It went away after about 2.5 years, and now it's happened again. About 2.5 years, about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was happening, I told my doctor that I had cold inertia. Oh, what? Wrong word. Yep, dumb fuck. It's not inertia.
Urticaria.
It's just basically fucking cold hives.
It's urticaria is the word he's looking for.
I've read about it as much as I can. I can't figure out
is that
what
not
I should
goosebumps?
Do next.
No, urticaria is hives.
Red. It looks like a red rash.
So cold urticaria will be reddish, itchy welts and swelling when your skin is exposed to cold. So just like there are certain people like... P.A. John was supposedly allergic to shrimp. Now he eats shrimp like crazy.
I mean, we didn't feed him. We made...
I had to make special dinners for this
special dinners, and then he wasn't even...
He wasn't even allergic, but... but people
ass.
With
no, it's...
Oh, my God.
People with food allergies often will get these rashes, and urticaria, its hallmark is it's itchy, and it comes and goes, and it'll be raised, just slightly raised, red, geographic in shape. And so anyway, let's see what else this guy says about it.
I want to go back to my doctor, but he waved, he looked at me like I was crazy the last time. Maybe because I said inertia, and next time tell him I have cold hives and see how he reacts. Maybe he'll treat it more seriously because it's itching the fuck out of me. I'm a truck driver, so I can't very well take a bunch of Benadryl so I don't itch because then I want to fall asleep. You know?
Okay, well, he's right. It's probably not good to take Benadryl when you're driving, but there are other antihistamines that are non-drowsy that you can buy over the counter, Allegra being one of them. What is that? Fexofenadine, I think. Mm-hmm. And it comes in a 24-hour dose without the decongestant, you know, just plain 180 milligrams of fexofenadine. That may take care of it. There are medications like leukotriene antagonists, like Montelukast, a.k.a. Singular, that can absolutely just make this stop happening. And that has no drowsy side effects, anything like that. Scott, what do they use in traditional Chinese medicine for urticaria?
We have a formula called xanthine. It's the same thing that I give you for your sinuses. It's xanthine nasal formula works for inflammation. But did he say where it was specifically? Was it just in one spot or all over?
I'm assuming, since it's urticaria, it's all over.
Yeah, well, I was going to say it could be just specific to something. You could just use a topical, you know, hydrocortisone cream.
Yeah.
You know, if it's in one local area.
Yeah, if it's all over his body, you just can't bathe in that stuff. But
take your medicine.
Yeah, go talk to the primary care. If the over-the-counter and non-drowsy antihistamines don't work for you, then they can put you on this leukotriene antagonist and see if that helps. You know, sometimes they'll use steroids, but I would only use that in an extreme bad case where we're just trying to acutely get rid of it. There are other medications that you can use as well. And, you know, let's get checked and then call us back. Let us know how that helps. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, of course.
This is something that happens to me. I have, what is it called, when your extremities get cold and turn blue?
Oh, Raynaud's syndrome?
Yes.
You actually have that?
I think so.
Okay.
But every once in a while, in my joints, in my fingers, or in my toes, I get a blob of, I guess it's blood, and it pools, and it hurts really bad. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. It just hurts. Like, I start screaming, and then it'll pop, and it'll my whole finger or wherever that pain was will turn purple.
I want to see that. You're talking about it this is on the surface of the skin?
It happens under, right under. Like
last
week, it happened on my toe, in my feet. And a lot happens in my fingers, like right in the joint is usually where it happens. And I'll bend it, and you'll feel it pop, and then the pain goes away.
Is there bruising that when it pops?
Yeah, it's purple. It's purple before, and it stays purple after it pops, and then it doesn't hurt anymore. But it's excruciating. It hurts. And in my feet, because it hurts to walk. My fingers aren't as bad.
I'm going to have to say you stumped me on this one. I want to see it when it happens, and okay. I may be able to figure it out.
Okay.
You got anything on that?
Yeah, I was just thinking to get... When she first started saying, thinking, you know, like a, if maybe I'm thinking it's not Raynaud's. I mean, if she's got some vascular, you know, insufficiency.
These are blood-filled cysts, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's only in my toes and my fingers that I've had it yet. They just started about 2 years ago.
And they pop.
Yeah.
They pop when you move your fingers or toes.
I got to see this. I got to see it when it happens.
Sometimes it just pops. Sometimes I can, like, bend it and it'll explode.
You got me fooled on that one. Let's talk about something I do know, Raynaud's disease.
Okay.
So if you actually have it, it's a rare disorder of blood vessels, usually in the fingers and toes, and you get this sort of French or American, depending on the way you look at it, reaction. When you put your hands, and we could do that one time on the show and videotape it, but you put your hands in ice water, and then they turn white because you get constriction, right, of the blood vessels. So the initial reaction is they turn white. And constriction of the blood vessel, you get decreased blood flow to the hands, white hands. And then as it continues to have decreased blood flow, they'll turn blue. It's called cyanosis, right? That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then when it resolves, blood rushes back into the hands turn red. So you get a white, blue, and red, very patriotic reaction to this stuff.
Yeah, let's do that one day.
And people usually don't know why why it happens. People in colder climates are more likely to develop Raynaud's. Now, you came from a colder climate.
Yeah, and I just started having those symptoms in the last 10 years, the finger numbness.
Yeah, so what they recommend, home treatment is if it starts to happen, put your hands in warm water, immediately try to counteract it. Keep your hands and feet warm. You're going to be more likely in a true cold snap to get frostbite and stuff like that because you're not going to have enough blood flow to your extremities and they'll freeze easier. Mm-hmm. And if there are certain triggers, then you know, avoid those. But the treatment is to take medications that keep the blood vessels from constricting. So those would be vasodilators. And those can have their own interesting adverse effects, so you don't want to take them unless you know for sure you have Raynaud's disease. But this blood-filled coming and going cysts in your fingers, I don't know what that is.
Okay.
And I haven't said that very many times on this show, but that's a new one on me.
I was just thinking petechiae, maybe, you know?
Well.
Some sort of a...
I got to see it.
Yeah.
If I could see it, I could tell what it is, I think.
Okay.
Because what I'm thinking is the image in my brain of what's going on and what's really going on are probably two different things. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If anybody else has any idea, give us a shout. All right. I got one for Dr. Scott, and then we're going to get out of here.
And see a dog.
Get out.
Hey, Dr. Steve, Dr. Scott. I've been dealing with tinnitus for about 20 years, and I'm going to be 40 this year, and it seems to be getting worse. I was hoping that Dr. Scott might have some herbal voodoo that would help me out with this. Really appreciate any advice you guys got. Thanks.
Tinnitus? Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's
you can pronounce it tinnitus or tinnitus. I think, go ahead and take it, Scott, if you want.
No, I was going to say the... it can
it's
be
ringing
very,
in the ears.
Ringing in the ears.
It's sound. You're hearing sound that isn't there, and it's not in the brain like a schizophrenic. It's actually caused by mechanical or electrical problems in the ear.
Yeah,
itself.
Exactly. Yeah, it can be mechanical. Can be electrical. Dr. Steve, I'll tell the guy if it's from trauma. If there's actual trauma to the ears from loud gunshots, or you know, we get some of the military guys that we serve, the veterans have it, and it's almost impossible for me to treat with any kind of acupuncture or herbs. If we get someone that's got a sinus-related tinnitus, it's very easily treated with some anti-inflammatories and some allergy medications, as well as some acupuncture. And yeah. I actually do it down in, believe it or not, I do it, needles with electrical stimulation just below the ears, in the throat, around the lymph nodes, kind of drain some of the fluid out of there. Works extremely well. But you know, sometimes people get tinnitus from other things like medications.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll get
aspirin
from,
is
aspirin,
classic.
Aspirin is a classic. You know, sometimes we'll see it with people on statin medications, blood pressure medications, and even some hormones will throw it off. So, you know, really thorough workup from your family medicine doctor, and then certainly give somebody like me a shot that treats it, you know, fairly well.
Yep.
Depending
so if
on
it
which
is
kind
from
of
from aspirin, will you still do the acupuncture, or do you just tell them to stop aspirin?
Stop the aspirin. Come up with a better way to keep the blood thin. Yep.
Looking at their medications, always think drugs.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest thing. If it's that,
it's simple,
and you can get rid of it, it's great. But his has been going on for years. It's probably
not medicine. Probably sinuses, I would guess.
They'll use
some kind of phlegm.
I would see an ear, nose, and throat doc. They always kind of throw their arms up as well. The two folks that frustrate the ear, nose, and throat docs the most are people with vertigo or the dizzy ones, or the people with tinnitus, because it's so frustrating to try to treat. But there are medications that you can use, including tricyclic antidepressants. If you have tinnitus in one ear and you've got dizziness, you may have Meniere's disease, which is a whole different deal. That's actually pretty treatable. And as a matter of fact, who was the astronaut who had Meniere's disease? He ended up going to the moon. Oh,
could have been not too many of them to choose from.
No, I know. He was the first
Aldrin,
guy in the Redstone rocket.
Aldrin, you know.
Who was the first American in space? Why can't I think of his name?
Hey, but you know, Chinese medicine, though, it is, we call it a phlegm disorder. So we have a lot of good medications that can drain the phlegm out of the ears.
Alan Shepard.
Yeah. Hey, another thing, real quick, dietary things, milk, foods, you know, foods like chickens that can cause phlegm. Maybe he drinks a lot of milk, you can just stop that, it'll get better.
Okay. They have machines, too. There are white noise machines that you can get. They produce environmental sounds like rain and stuff, and it just masks it. There is a thing called a tinnitus retraining device. It's wearable, and they deliver sort of programmed tonal music and masks the specific frequencies of the tinnitus that you're hearing. Mm-hmm. So an audiologist would help you with that, and normally you would run into them in a ear, nose, and throat physician's office. So go see an ENT. Tell them you got this tinnitus. You've tried everything. And the other thing you can do is go to clinicaltrials.gov and just put in tinnitus. See if anybody's doing anything cutting edge for treatment. Matter of fact, let's just do that.
Send us an email if he wants a referral for someone in his area.
Yeah.
Sure.
We've got a minute 15 of the music. Let me just go to clinicaltrials.gov. And let's put in tinnitus. T-I-N-N-I-T-U-S. Uh-oh, here we go. There's all kinds of them. And you want to do actively recruiting. Somatosensory tinnitus study. Okay, what you want to find are treatment studies. Here's a bunch of device studies. Clinical trial investigating the effect of tinted light on perception of tinnitus. Well, that's a way out wacky one. Lidoderm patch for tinnitus treatment. There's all kinds of stuff. So check that out as well. And then if you find something that actually helps, give us a call. Don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. Stuff.drsteve.com. Thanks to Dr. Scott Tacey and Lady Diagnosis. Until next time, Check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking. Get off your asses and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.